Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were at his friend's, they're having a house party, and he came over. I told him, you can come to my house, come stay at my house. So he thinks he's coming to my house to like get some. But he, little did he know, I did not put out.
Nice job.
Yeah. And we would laugh about that so much. Like, he thought it was going to be like such a fun night. And then he got to my house and it was like,
wah, wah.
Between the Reps with Brooke Entz and Gina Chancharulo is a CastBox original produced alongside Studio 71.
CastBox is the fastest growing and highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts.
You can listen to Between the Reps wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
What's up, people? I was gonna say what's up, guys, but then sometimes when I say guys, I get worried about like, you know, this whole like how you address people.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
What's up, humans?
Hello, humans.
Hello, humans. Hey, we are back with another episode of Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina. And today we're talking about
something like, neither one of us have a lot of experience
yeah.
with.
Like relationships. So I mean, relationships.
Relationships.
This is how this topic came to be.
Right.
And how we decided we wanted to talk about this. We have a really good friend. His name is Sam Allen. Go ahead and that's Smallen. S-M.
Smallen. Smallen.
Smallen.
At Smallen.
S-M-A-L-L-E-N on Instagram. Go ahead and check him out. He has been in the dating scene for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in San Francisco. Watching me, I'm just like, I'm giving so much information away.
His phone number is... No, just kidding.
You can find him at... Yeah. But yeah, he lives in San Francisco. And we were just starting to joke about just like the dating life, you know, and like who he's like, who's dating right now or whatever. And we started talking about it. And we decided it'd be a fun topic with him, but he's not here. So... We will definitely be bringing him on, and maybe we'll focus it a little bit more on like sex and dating.
No.
You know?
Well, he has to agree to that.
I think he already did.
Okay.
Anyways, we're going to continue with the subject, and we've asked for some questions. We're going to answer some questions in the second half of the show. And first half, I'll go ahead and just start with one of the questions I get a lot, which is people want to know how I met my husband. So here's the story. I met Marston on my 18th birthday.
Such a baby.
Yeah, I'm 29. I turned 30 in August. Don't forget August 10th. You guys have my P.O. box on my Instagram. Go ahead and send whatever you want. Celebrate my birthday. 30 years of being alive. Anyways, met Mars on my 18th birthday. Me and my girlfriends were out and about all night, being crazy, driving around. Honestly, we were like running through the sprinklers.
I was gonna say, when you say being naked. Crazy, like you didn't drink or anything.
No, yeah, I didn't drink alcohol. Like you guys were, like, I didn't drink alcohol until my second year of college, right. Actually. No, we were just, we loved
good, clean fun.
Good music, running through like sprinklers, driving around St. George, Utah, having good old fun. And we were hungry, and my best friend was driving, Kelsey Lyman, and we went to Del Taco, and we were in the drive-thru. And there was this car full of boys. This is legit. This car full of boys was like driving away. Like they had just eaten at Del Taco. And they had all their windows down. I've got a car full of girls. And they were like hooting and hollering. And this car full of boys. So they stop. And the best part of this whole thing is like, I'm telling you the real story. But if Marston tells you this story, slightly more like exaggerated.
Exaggerated or more, like, more flattering to him?
No, just exaggerated. Okay. Yeah. So they stop and all the boys start walking up to the car. We're literally still in the drive up at Del Taco. And I was like so nervous. I didn't even like talk to any of them. And as they were walking up, we were all in the car to basically calling dibs on these boys. And they were out. They were, it was summertime and they were in the middle of football camp. They were all at the college. We all just graduated high school. And Marston will tell you that he just like threw his phone number into the car full of girls. Okay.
So what really happened?
He just threw it in there. Quite a few of us were texting him. I was moving away for school. We hung out one time.
But did he really just throw his number into the car?
He was giving it to a friend in the back seat. Oh. And my best friend that was driving took the number down for me.
Okay.
We were texting right before I moved away to school, literally like a few weeks later. We hung out one time. And during that one time, me and him didn't even hang out. I hung out with his best friend.
Ooh.
I was at my friend Kelsey's house. They came over and her, this is Marston. He walked in and was like, ooh, Mario Kart. Right? That sounds like him. He goes over, plays Mario Kart with her roommate the whole time. I hang out with Kevin, his best friend, the whole time. And then they leave. I moved away to school. We stayed in touch. He was going to school where I was from. I was going to school where he was from. He was playing football, super busy. I was a full-time dance major, super busy. So occasionally, like on weekends or whatever, every few weeks or more, I'd go home. If he was in town, we hung out. If he came home and I was in town, we hung out. We did that for a very long time. And that was in August of 2007.
Mm-hmm. And wait, when you like hung out, was that playing video games or was it like you were dating?
I don't think that I would say we were dating. I feel like our relationship was always...
Like, was it romantic at that time?
No.
Okay.
It was like flirty and, you know, he was playing football and like I didn't want a boyfriend. So if we were hanging out, like we didn't really like do, we didn't date. Like we didn't go on dates. Mm-hmm. We definitely hung out with friends, like our like friends all the time.
Did you make out?
Yeah, like we kissed.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Like were you just friends or friends with a few benefits?
Not many benefits. I grew up pretty religious.
Right.
So.
I wasn't coming right down to ask if you were
I will tell you this, though. One of the first times he came up to Salt Lake was around, I don't know if it was around Christmas time, but it was definitely snow on the ground. We were at his friend's, they were having a house party, and he came over. I was like, I told him, I was like, you can come to my house, come stay at my house. So he thinks he's coming to my house to like, get some. But he, little did he know, I did not put out. I did
nice
not.
Job.
Yeah. And we would laugh about that so much. Like he thought it was going to be like such a fun night. And then he got to my house and it was like,
wah, wah.
Like we like fooled around, but like it was not what he expected. Anyways, we're not talking about that.
Okay. Sorry.
We dated for a long time, got to the summertime, ended up becoming boyfriend and girlfriend. And we did long distance for 2 years, 2.5 years. And it was definitely hard, but I think that we can attribute that to why we've been together for so long, mm-hmm. is he's someone who, he would date girls, he would get sick of them.
Mm-hmm.
He 100% wouldn't end it with them. He just would stop calling them.
That's terrible.
Literally.
They're still wondering whatever happened to him.
Yes. They're like, they're still waiting for him.
They're still wondering.
Like, that's how he was. Like, he wouldn't, like, and he just would be bored or get annoyed. And so he would just, like, stop texting them and calling them and, like, answering their calls.
I guess we're not
and just move on.
Going out anymore.
I know. What a dick.
Just ghost him.
Katie's worst nightmare.
Oh, my God. For sure.
Dude, everyone's worst nightmare. Shitty.
Just ghosted.
So for me, like, both of us, we weren't around each other enough to ever get sick of one another. So we were, when we like started to like each other, we still like weren't in the same city. So we wouldn't get, we'd go weeks without seeing each other. And then we'd see each other and like relationships with like distance or space and you come together, it's really refreshing and it's good for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that for a long time. We dated for 7 years.
It's a long time.
Dated for 7 years, got engaged, got married, and here we are today. So I met him on my 18th birthday in 2007, and it is 2019, and we're married, and our anniversary is August 9th. We strategically, so my birthday is August 10th, his is the 12th. We really wanted to have our wedding on the 11th.
Oh my gosh, just to get everything done with?
But I think the 11th was like a Monday. So when we did, everyone came down to San Diego. We got married in San Diego. So it's the 9th, 10th, and the 12th. Really just so like neither of us could forget it. Like I'm terrible with dates. Yeah, I'm terrible with dates, man. My whole family has this thing with like birthdays. Mm-hmm. I know like what the date, I know like birthdays, but I also am not very good about like knowing what the date is today. Like I know today is Friday.
Right.
I have to check my phone to see the date.
Got it.
That's just,
so you know when their birthdays are. You just never remember when it's on the day.
So what happens is like we're in the month and I know things are coming up, but.
Don't they like have a bet or something?
Yes,
on whether or
my
not
whole family, remember? No one's allowed to like to let me know.
So you know if it's legit or not.
They all wait. Did Brooke call you?
How often do you screw up?
Not that often anymore because I've set reminders in my phone.
Good job. Good job.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so that is the story with like Cliff Notes Virgin. Cliff Notes
It all started at Del Taco. Romantic.
Del Taco in the drive-thru. Everyone was like, was he working there? No. Could you picture him though?
I could.
Welcome to Del Taco. Yeah, so that's my story. And we started before that. I never really had boyfriends. I did have guys that I dated in high school that you would consider probably a boyfriend. We just never labeled it. Mm-hmm. And Marston was kind of like the first person that I was like, I was okay with the label. And even in other relationships I was in, technically, we just never used the label. So I would never have considered them like a real relationship.
Right. It was never solidified.
Yeah. And I went to the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, Utah. And then Marston went to Dixie State, which mm-hmm. is in St. George, Utah. It's like four-hour drive. Mm-hmm. But we were both very busy, especially different times of year. I was a full-time dance major. He played football. Gone all the time. So I think the longest we'd go without seeing each other was like 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
They say distance.
Let's talk about your relationship.
Oh, geez. I was waiting for it to come to me. I was married for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I got married when I was 23, but I was with him since I was 21 and then divorced at 46. So we were together a really long time. So I dated a little bit before then, but not very much. I don't know. I didn't really date very much.
When I live in Santa Cruz now, and I can, like, understand why.
Yeah, I don't know. I think nobody liked me. I got to tell you, though. I went on this right before I met my ex-husband.
I was just going to ask you to tell me this.
I went on the worst blind date ever.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can you please tell me about
it? I wasn't even going to go on this blind date. I can't remember who set me up, but they were like, oh, you know, I think you guys would get along really great. He's a really great guy. I'm going to give him your number. And I had just kind of come out of, you know, I'd had like a short relationship before with my son's dad that had gone kind of bad. So I was like, I don't know. It can't be worse than the one before. So
I guess I'll give it
a try. So I guess I'll do like a lunch date with this guy. So this guy starts calling me, seems like really cool on the phone. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I mean, he's at least, you know, really nice and I can talk to him really easily. So sure, I'll go on a date with him. So I went on a lunch date and he picked me up at work. And I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to sound like an asshole. But this guy came up and he walks into the office and he goes, Gina? And I wanted to be like, no, I'm sorry. She just left. Because he had a goggle imprints on his face. Like, I don't know where he worked, but he had like, it looked like he was wearing goggles.
Okay.
Like it was so impressed into his face. He had this crazy mullet. He was wearing like he was a little heavy set, and he had his shirt all tucked in with like the elastic waistband, you know, so he had a fupa.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, so just gauged off that, I was like, oh, okay. But I was like, you know, he seemed like a nice guy, so I'm gonna go to lunch with him. We go to Chinese food. We're waiting for our table, and he goes, you know, I really shouldn't eat Chinese food again. I had to go home Tuesday with the runs. I'm not kidding. And I go, oh, okay, yeah. I didn't know what to say. So I was kind of dumbfounded. So then, you know, they seat us. Through the entire, the only thing he spoke about, well, first of all, we're seated, and I noticed this huge table of guys, and they're all, like, keep looking over at us. And I'm like, what? Who are these guys? And ends up, they were all people he worked with, and they had all gone there to check me out. So as they're leaving, they're high-fiving him, and, like, it was just, it was the most bizarre situation. Through the entire meal, all he's explaining to me is how he makes beef jerky, like almost to like down where you skin the cow and all that stuff. And so it's like making me sick. And no joke, I opened my fortune cookie and it said, better to be alone than in bad company. I could not make this shit up. I saved it forever. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, this is what's out there for me. This is it.
This is it.
This is it.
I guess I ought to
got a guy's
make,
you know,
beef jerky.
IBS and, you know, super into beef jerky. But yeah, I guess there's like worse dates out there. But he took me home, and needless to say, I think I came up with some baloney line about, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I just got a really long relationship. I don't think I'm ready, you know. So, and then I met my ex like 2 weeks later, and I was like, ooh, he's cute. Ooh, he's funny. Ooh, let's get married.
He doesn't make beef jerky? Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's get married. He doesn't shit himself. Perfect.
You don't have IBS. Yeah. You don't. You can eat Chinese food? Cool. Will you marry me?
Right. Well, and then it lasted a really long time, so that's not a failure.
No. And he's a very cool dude.
He's a good guy. But like since then, you know, being my age and dating, I'm 48. Well, I was 46 at the time. I don't date a lot. I mean, like, I don't really want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people, I'll go on dates, but I have no interest. I think a lot of women my age feel this desperation to, like, find someone, like, right away. Like, oh, my God, I'm going to be alone forever. I just want to be married. I just want to have someone. Well,
and you definitely felt the stress of, like, I'm going to be alone forever. Like,
I did.
Right before it happened.
I did.
And it was, like, me like, reassuring you that was not the case.
No. Well, and he realizes, like, well, I'm not going to be alone. I mean, I have great friends and I have great family and kids and all this stuff, and you have to like kind of restructure what you think is being happy and needing someone,
and like the concept of how things are supposed to look,
right?
Or like how a relationship is supposed to look,
right?
You know,
and I don't feel like it's really for me. I, you know, I have kids, I mean they're older, you know, Ruby's now getting older, but like for me, I don't want to just keep, you know, dating around and jumping into something again, because I think that's what happens so often now. Like people, girls, I mean, I shouldn't just say girls, but myself,
men
I grew up
do too.
Thinking, I got to get married. I mean, that's like the first thing you need to do.
Well, yeah,
you
gotta, and it's you like
gotta
you, get
them,
you get a
then
boyfriend,
you have kids,
you get a boyfriend, when you get married,
right.
As soon as you get married, when you're having kids.
Right.
It's like you, the way society is, and just because of like how our grandparents did it, at least in like in our culture.
Right.
It is pushy. Like, it's hard to break the mold because everyone's automatically just pushing you down this route that, like, we're made to believe is the only, it is the way. But in reality, man has kind of created all these ideas, and truly, you can do whatever's going to work best for you.
Right.
You know?
And, well, and when you're young, and again, I mean, I have friends who, you know, met in high school, are married, they're still married, you know, they're happy. You know, it's not like an instant like, oh, if you get married young, it's doomed.
Yeah, no.
But I think that when you are younger, you don't, you have no idea who you are,
mm-hmm.
and what's important to you. So how are you gonna
going
pick to pick a life partner?
And because you're going to change.
Yes, well, and how do you pick a life partner without even knowing what you want from someone? And you don't even know who they really are, especially
yep.
when you're rushing into something and, oh my God, you know, we've been together for a year and we're getting married. And, you know, so dating for me now, all I keep thinking is like, well, the last thing I want to do is just jump right back into something. And, you know, if something happens and I meet somebody really great and I you know, love most everything about them, because you can't love everything,
yeah.
you know, yeah, I'll think about it. But right now, it's not the rush.
No.
For me.
You ain't got time for that shit. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we're going to answer some questions. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you and want to stay connected with you. So please rate, review, and subscribe to help this podcast grow.
And if you like the podcast, get the word out.
And now back to the show. All right, I know you guys are just been waiting and sitting on the edge of your seat after that diarrhea comment for us to get back to this conversation. So welcome back. Thanks for listening. Between the reps, and we're going to answer some questions, and some of these will obviously maybe move into a little bit more of a conversation. So,
and these are you would
I posted on Instagram and just kind of let people know a couple topics we might be talking about this this weekend, and one was dating, and so we've got some questions.
We do, but I want to address one because this is really good.
Okay.
Okay. People wonder why I suffer from lack of self-esteem issues. Sorry, I can't talk right now.
Well, I wonder why.
I wonder why. Well, this one. I legit thought that was Caitlyn Jenner. And then in parentheses, Bruce Jenner. LOL. Commenting on a picture of you and I.
Everyone,
so I'm assuming that's
everyone
me.
Thought my best friend was Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, don't say everyone. It's one person. They did get 2 likes, though.
Oh, fuck.
So 3 people.
Dude,
people are so funny. Okay.
I know. I believe. I get a lot of shit all the time. But you know what? Just on that note, because you guys are listening, trolls totally suck. But we are also working on realizing and noticing the amount of people that are positive.
Exactly.
To the 1 or 2 or 3 people are kind of mean.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
You get a few mean ones.
Hey, guy, her name's Gina Chancharulo. It's not Caitlyn Jenner. And if it were Caitlyn Jenner, we'd probably be doing way better. I'd be making way more money.
I know, man.
All right, question 1. Are guys intimidated by you? This is from Caden_Purdy.
Yes. I'm just kidding. I'm assuming that was for me.
Yeah. I guess it's hard for me to speak for guys. Have I heard that some guys are intimidated by me? Yes.
As your friend and watching how people behave around you, I would say yes.
What if he doesn't lift? Then we ain't going out.
Ooh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. That was a little aggressive.
No, that's true, though.
Also, I don't date, so...
Well, that's true.
In my relationship, I definitely urge my husband to try and keep his weights heavier than mine.
You have said he needs to be stronger than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm like, hey, my front squat's getting dangerously close to yours. You should up it.
There's another one.
Oh, why does Mars Media call you his pony?
Oh.
Because Marston, when I wear heels, like wedges or heels, he looks at me, and I think just like my muscles and like the size of my legs and my body, like a pony that's like
rearing
like
up,
like a show pony.
Oh,
and he'll do that at me, and he'll like, and I love it
with your big blonde beautiful.
Yeah,
pony.
And I love horses a lot. And this is completely off topic, but if I were to ever have a tail of some sort, I would love a horse tail. And if I were gonna have a different tail, something that was more for than just show and beauty, I'd probably have myself like a lemur tail, you know, or
really?
A monkey tail, something okay. you could use and grab shit with. Okay. Sorry. Gina, how do you feel about people waiting until their 30s to get married? Also, how long is too long to wait for a proposal?
Oof.
This is from Leashy Be Fit.
Well, I'll say this. I have older children. I always told them to wait. See, I don't want to say... Being young and getting married is an automatic doom. But what I would encourage them to do is to wait until they're a little bit older. So, again, they know who they are. They know a little bit better who they are and what they want in a partner, and that there's no rush. So I would say, like, my daughter got married at, I think she was 27. She's been married a year. I felt like, yeah. And they'd been together for a very long time. And so I feel like that was a really great decision for her. I would say late 20s, early 30s. I mean, for women, it's hard to, because like their biological clock, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, you don't want to, you know, I mean, if you're just getting proposals thrown at you right and left and you're just waiting for the perfect guy to come along, yeah. That's not going to happen. But I think it's good to wait a little bit longer than what kind of what my generation did, which was like get married right out of high school. And then as far as, what was the other question?
How long is too long to wait for a proposal?
Oh, I don't know.
Honestly, like that question to me, I could give you an answer that you may not like. I just feel like after being in a relationship, like being married aside, just being with someone for 11 years, I've been with Mars for 11 years, having a ring on your finger or a title or a piece of paper should not be like your end goal because.
Well, and two, but it's almost like acting like you also have to know the relationship you're in and be honest yes. about the relationship that you're in. Because yes. if you're in a relationship where the guy's not even talking about it, I mean, he's, you know, you've been together for a few years and it's, if your goals are not the same, you know, if you don't have like, I don't know if it's like an agreement.
Or if it really is like kind of one-sided, but you're really jaded. And so you're very hopeful, but the other person is it's like not something that's going to happen for them, right. You know, but they like what's happening. It's probably a conversation you need to have with them to know, like, if that's something that you really want, if like getting married is your non-negotiable and that's what you really want, but the other person is like, I have no desire to go through with marriage. Maybe they have maybe a super sour taste in their mouth about it. Maybe they've gone through some stuff or family stuff or whatever, and that's never going to happen for them. If you can't find like an even playing field and realize and like decide what you will be moving forward, then it's better to like don't lose time. Like if you really want to get married or you really don't want to get married and your partner does, that's going to be a problem. And all you're doing is prolonging it the more you ignore it and hope that they'll give you what you want.
Exactly.
Which it totally sucks. And relationships are hard, which is why I called them relationship in the beginning of the podcast.
Well, and the thing is like, I think I would never want to feel like I pressured someone into marrying me.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems awful to pressure someone into marrying me and then realizing, okay, well, now you've done something that you don't want to do. I mean, you're better off finding somebody that actually values you in that way and wants to live with you in that yeah. capacity. Anyway.
Here's a question. Some_rad_whore.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yikes.
Some_rad_redhead. Some rad redhead. Brooke, how have you dealt with self-esteem in regards to dating? I've been told by men I'm unattractive because of my muscles, and I wondered if you have ever encountered that. Well, for me, I've never encountered that in dating, but we could say this. Like, let's take this conversation from romantic relationships to just relationships, because that's not only with your romantic partner, but we have so many people in our life that matter, you know, and like are different levels of being your friend that it's kind of the same thing. So have I encountered people that would have that perception of me? 100%. In public or in person, and for sure on social media. It's really something that is sad, and it's obviously really, if you really like this person or you have like this idea that you want to have something with this person, and they're coming to you and saying like, I'm unattracted to you because of how strong you are. Like maybe we could
say move on.
Yeah, like maybe we could be something. if you like didn't do CrossFit. You got to know what your heart really wants. And I think that if you have anyone in your life that is already showing so much control over you, it's not going to get better.
No.
Like, you will be unhappy.
Well, and the thing is, there are men out there that do appreciate that. I mean, I 100%. Can't tell you how many times we walk around and there's constant men telling you, oh, my God, you look so amazing and all of this. So, I mean, you're going to find someone
that
loves that.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what's crazy, too? It's not really crazy. That was dumb. Sorry. I've met boys that for sure are like, I would never consider someone who would be interested in a girl who was like physically strong looking and, you know, like me. And they start getting more into training. And they start going to CrossFit and start training in CrossFit, and they start to see women different. And I've talked to men about this. They see women different, and now they're so attracted to someone. They see this physically, mentally strong human, and they now see you for so much more than just what you look like. That doesn't mean that every guy or every girl is gonna see that opposite. See that, you know, the. I can't say opposite sex because some of us like the same sex, which is totally cool by me.
And a partner.
Their partner.
That they want that
the same
partner.
Way. Right. Or that they'll have that same change or mental change. But it does happen. I remember I was at a competition one time and I was in the middle of the competition. And one of the judges, she had told me that she was going through a divorce because she started doing CrossFit. And basically her husband was like, was just very against her doing that. And it was so much so that it wasn't going to work out anymore because you have this woman who found this type of training that made her feel strong and confident and better, but yet this person that she trusted and cared so much about was just tearing her down
right.
for the same reasons why she was feeling better.
Well, and the root of that would just be that he's controlling. And yeah. I mean, I feel like there's other issues there.
Yeah. So it's very difficult. I think that the best thing you can do is make sure that you're true to yourself and realize that life goes by really fast, and it's also really long. And something like, if you needed to end something for your better, like to make your life better in the long term, to do it may hurt really bad, but it will hurt more if you stay in something for so long and you're slightly or, you know, pretty unhappy the whole time because you're just trying to be perfect for someone else.
Right.
You know, and never really being able to kind of be who you want to be or right. do the things that you want to do.
Well, and that would be like really for anyone. I mean, it's the laws of attraction. I mean, you're just attracted. I mean, you're attracted to different people for different reasons. Mm-hmm. So if this one person isn't, then there's plenty of people that will be.
Okay, here's one question. It's a long one. I got to read it. I was trying to like skim it. Can't.
You want to hold it really close to your face?
This is normally how I look at my phone. This happened, first of all. You guys are, if you're just listening, when my neck was really bad, I couldn't look down or up or whatever, so I'd hold everything directly in front of my face. And so I still do that. And Gina's always like, can you see that?
Her nose
like
is on
an
the phone.
Inch away from my face. Okay, so this is more relationship related. If you met someone when you were at a certain level of fitness, aka you were smaller and more lean, and you're still with them, but you've put on some pounds, how do you think that can affect the relationship? Do you think it's in the back of someone's mind that you were smaller, fitter at one point, and you should try to get back to that point? Sorry to unload on you. This is the mental battle in my head, and I'd love to hear your take on that. Thank you. Love you guys. Totally relatable. I mean, like, I can completely understand where you're coming from. I can also really understand, like, why you'd have that internal battle. I think that, let me try and put myself in your shoes. So I'm not going to like speak for you. I would think, one, if it really is more than just like a very, I can't think of the word, but like not like a fake relationship, but like you just care about what the person looks like.
Superficial.
If it's more than that, but you're still having these feelings, I think that it could be more personal. You're worried about that person seeing you differently when in fact, maybe that person literally sees you the exact same and does not care. You know, I've definitely been in the situation where like, I'm like a total introvert. Some of you guys are probably like, yeah, bullshit. I'm totally an introvert that's really good at extroverting. I have a lot of conversations in my head and I think about stuff all the time. I've definitely been extremely insecure. I am more secure with myself now than I ever have been in my entire life. And it's taken a lot of work and a lot of ups and downs and like to get to where I am. And I still struggle, especially because trolls like talk shit all the time. But it's something that maybe you're a little bit, you're battling with the idea of like, do you feel like you should be who you were, or do you actually like and feel comfortable who you are now? You know, physically, weight, whatever. Maybe like you're in the gym and now you can move more weight and you love being strong. And that means you have to have more weight on your body. If you're going to be stronger, you got to gain muscle. You're going to gain weight. That's just the way that it is. You know, I would start thinking more there. Decide, are you happy with where you are? Do you love where you are? And when you can do that, if you can love yourself, it's going to allow other people to love you so much easier and so much more. And you'll probably maybe be able to see that that person does in fact still love you the same. And maybe it was more so a struggle or a decision or something that you needed to figure out for yourself. And it's not like a cop out to the question. I just think that.
Well, it's harder than just making it like a physical
thing. We can't make these big assumptions about what other people are thinking. You know, I think, and it's always, and regardless of what the other person is thinking, you've got to be happy with where you are first and foremost, and your health and your mindset is the most important. And I still say it. I think that in decisions you make, in relationships, in business, in traveling, in friends, in all of these things, and I started to really feel this way because as my life started to change and become far more busy a few years back, and I had no real preparation for like knowing how to handle things or do things, or, you know, it can be very easy for someone who cares about all their loved ones and friends so much to make decisions based off of what their happiness is.
Right.
And what's tough about that is eventually you might feel like it maybe wasn't what you truly wanted or needed, or you might feel like, well, I wonder what if, you know, but you did what you did because it keeps everyone else happy. But then what if at the expense of that is like you feel empty, or you feel like you've missed an opportunity because you were making decisions for someone else? It's very important to realize that nothing is guaranteed. Like, it's like the whole, like, you know, kind of a scary concept. Like, it's like you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know if you'll be around tomorrow. You don't know all these things. And so it's very easy to think about that and then be like, ah, no, let it go. But it is a reality that we don't really know. And so if you always make decisions that's basing everything off of how other people will be happy, at the end of the day,
or how they perceive you,
at the end of the day, if we don't know what's going to happen, or we have no idea what's guaranteed, we don't know if friendships are guaranteed, we don't know if relationships are guaranteed, what if you woke up and just, you'd made all these decisions for all these other people, and then one day they're all gone, and you've lost all these years of time and opportunities and desires and things that you wanted to try or go do because other people didn't want you to do them. Now you just have regret, and now you just lost time. And like, that is so much more painful than to just, you know, like a quick, like a little bit of pain of like saying, you know, maybe letting someone down because you wanted to go. This is my idea. You wanted to go to this restaurant, but this person wanted to go to that restaurant, and it was a new place, and you were out of town, and you didn't know if you'd ever make it back, and you love food. And so you don't go to there. You don't go there because this person doesn't want to go. And then you miss this chance to go and eat at this place, and you're never going to go back there ever again. And so now it's like, well, like, that's such a small example, but like, that can be so big.
Well, and I think it's big when we're worried about like how other people perceive us, whether it's, you know, it's usually about our appearance.
Yes.
It's important for us not to compare ourselves to other people. I find myself doing that a lot. Like, compare myself. Like, I'll look at someone else. You know, I hate wearing shorts.
You
know, because I hate wearing shorts. And everyone's like, oh, but you look great in shorts. And it's like, for some reason, I don't like to. But if I look at somebody else and I'm like, oh my God, they look so great in shorts. Look at their legs. I wish I had their legs. You know, it's just ridiculous. You're never going to stop doing it because it's just that inner dialogue. But you really have to try to fight that and stop worrying so much, like you said, about what other people are thinking of you.
Yeah.
And really work on loving yourself and, you know, all of that.
And really, like, surrounding yourself, like, instead of just, like, trying to be on the, you know, the search for this one person, like, open your eyes, take the blinders off, and realize all the people that are around you that can fulfill you and love you and give you their time and that matter. You know what I mean? Like, friends, like, close friends. Like, that's how we are. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's a lot of people that can give you that love, and you don't have to. And I'm not also, though, like, if you're like, I'm on the prowl and that's what I want to do, do you, boo boo. Right. You know, like, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm saying that everyone is different. But I think as long as we focus on making decisions that will make us happy, making decisions that are true to ourselves, and we feel fulfilled, you're going to attract people that are going to fulfill you even more. You're not going to attract people that just want to change you and want to keep you in this little box. You know, it's important to change. What was the little the thing you told me?
What?
The Adi had on her Instagram.
Oh, it was so cute. It was like these two, it was a little sketch, and it had like, it was very simple. It was just like two little stick people. And this is kind of like when I was going through my divorce and stuff. And I kept hearing about how I had changed and all that.
You've changed.
Like, it was a bad thing. It was a bad thing. And it was these two little stick figures, and one of them had like a little flower crown, like, on their head. Like, they looked, you know, like they had more on them. And the one looks to the other one and says, "You've changed." And then the other one says, "Well, I sure hope so." And I was like, oh, change isn't bad.
No.
Like, this is scary. This is scary what I'm going through. This is hard. You know, and you can relate it to someone, you know, gaining weight or feeling like their physical appearance looks different, or know, their,
like,
job
having
is
a
changing.
Baby?
Or yeah, I mean, there's like so many things that can happen. And,
yeah,
you know, so many people are so scared of that. But you just kind of have to go through that process and realize, you know, change is not always the worst thing. You can, if you really stick to, like you said, if you really start focusing on what's important to you, and making decisions based on what you think is right, whether it's, you know, morally better for you or whatever, I think it will always end up being better in the long run.
Yeah. And it's even that it can be very intimidating and scary to do that, because you'll feel, you can feel very selfish or.
Well, and it's shitty for a while.
Yeah. But even just like in general, like trying to make a decision for yourself, if you're someone who is very selfless and really does care about what other people think and really cares about other people's happiness so much, can be very easy to be swayed in a way that's not in your favor very much. You know what I mean? But like, it's a constant thought that I think that you should have and more people should have. And yeah, and if someone, if you gain a few pounds, it's like,
That's okay.
You want to know why? Because you can, if you wanted to like lose a few pounds, you can. I think that's one thing that's amazing about the human body. But if you gain a few pounds and someone decides to not love you anymore because you gained a few pounds, tell them to go fuck themselves.
Well, they probably didn't actually love you in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, and I know it can, oh, I don't know it can be hard, but I know it can be hard. And like this concept can be, you know, like you can use it in a lot of different avenues of life, business, friendships, whatever. And so, yeah, I think it's very important to make sure you're making decisions that are good for you. And I think if you're working to be happy, working to love yourself, and you're going to attract people with the same wants, and then you're going to find that person and maybe get married and have a relationship.
Or maybe not.
And that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, guys. So
I think we've rambled a lot enough on that one.
Obviously, our podcasts are sometimes short, sometimes long. We could talk and ramble on about dating for a really long time. Do you have a question?
Well, no, I was just cracking up because this is like keys to a successful marriage. Don't know.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to end it on this just because of that. Uh-huh. I'll end it on this. There's no roadmap. You know what I mean? And I feel like I can look back at like I people watch a lot. I love learning from watching, and I mean even as far as like I love watching first reactions. My first interaction with you is going to say a lot to me about you or how you feel about me or you know, things like that. And it really sticks with me. Like, that's just kind of the kind of person that I am. And I've watched a lot of relationships, my grandparents, my mom, my dad, my aunts, my uncles, my brother, my sisters, and their relationships. And what I've learned is they're all different. And there's, you can never, as much as you want to think that you know what's going on in someone else's relationship, you have no idea. So stop trying. Stop trying to assume what other people need. Stop trying to assume that you know what's going on, because you don't. Everything's very different. What people need is very different. And there's no roadmap. Like, there is no right way. There is no wrong way. There's just lots of ways, and some things work and some things don't. And we are getting older, and you know, things are changing, even just like, you know, not just yourself, but just like pop culture is changing. Like, right. What's happening in our world is changing. Things in your city are changing. Like, stuff is changing. And we're all trying to do the best we can. People aren't set out to want to be unhappy. People want to be happy. So accept that it's okay if something didn't work for you. It's okay if you feel like you've done something that was, you know, wrong at the time. You didn't realize it. Like, you're doing the best you can. We're all trying to do the best we can. And again, I stick by saying, if you just try to make sure your goal is to be happy, to love yourself, to live a full life, you will hopefully surround yourself with people that feel the same way, and you're more likely to have
success
in all kinds of relationships.
Preach, sister.
Right?
That's right.
All right, guys. You're awesome. Remember to rate, 5-star rating. Review, subscribe, and make sure you actually go to the Between the Reps YouTube channel. That's where all of our videos are living these days. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.